Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs, that's deadly snake eggs, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. And going down to verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Today I want to preach to you what I feel where we are today as a nation, and hopefully give us a little hope and help of what we can do about it. I want to preach to you about America's crisis. America's crisis. Can we pray for our nation? Can we pray for all people? Can we pray for the future of this great nation? Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for America today. I pray that your blessing and your hand would be upon us, Lord. I pray that this great nation, Lord, would turn towards you, and that your power to heal and your power to save and your power to bring hope and life and salvation, Lord, that it would grow, and that the light of truth would shine so brightly in a day where there is so much darkness. We give you the praise and the glory and the worship for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Andrew. I enjoyed that, and that was a blessing to me. I am so thankful for a great group of young and upcoming leaders and workers in the kingdom. Amen. God bless them. And I'm enjoying those times from them on Sundays. Well, today we find ourselves in what is a very trying time. And last week I preached to you about America being at a crossroads. And I believe that is the truth. Only God knows how all of this is going to turn out. And hopefully you did your part. Hopefully you did your part by going and voting. And hopefully you've been praying this week that God's will would be done in our nation. But one thing we've seen so clearly this week is how our nation is so divided. It is so opposed that there is no common place, it seems, to find ourselves coming together. It is a sad and troubling thing for the greatest nation that is in the world. As I mentioned this past Wednesday night, Brother Tom Barnes, a pastor from Louisiana, who was mightily used in the gifts of the Spirit and who passed away several years ago, he said that America existed for a threefold purpose. Number one, to finance worldwide missions. Number two, to support and defend and befriend the nation of Israel. And number three, to have a military strong enough to hold back the Antichrist until his time here on the earth. If that indeed has been the purpose and the calling of the United States of America, then perhaps we can understand the level of attack from hell which has been released against our great country over the last however many years. There's a reason why some seek to tear it apart from the inside out. There's a reason why biblical values are under such attack. It's clear why the protections of the church have been under fire lately, and it's easy to see why Hollywood has been so anti-God in everything that they promote, because it's all a part of the plan of the enemy to destroy this country so that we cannot do the things that we've been called to do as a country, to finance worldwide missions, to support and defend Israel, and to hold back the spirit of the Antichrist in our world. There's chaos. There's violence. There's distrust, anger, hatred, division, an election that has descended into chaos. And I don't care how the outcome is. I don't care what side the outcome favors. We are at a point that the other side is, no matter what, not going to have faith in our electoral system. America has a crisis on her hands, and perhaps greater than any major crisis ever faced by our nation. It's greater than our battle for independence, I believe. It's greater than even the Civil War or even the world wars that we have experienced. Greater than any economic depression. Greater than any sickness or virus. I believe America has a crisis on her hands. And the reality is, what we're seeing in this election, what we're seeing in the chaos, in the division, and in all of that, those things are, they are not the crisis themselves. They are just side effects of the underlying real problem. They are just symptoms that go along with the infection. They are not the crisis themselves, but rather they are the products of the crisis that we are facing as a nation. We read today in Isaiah 59:1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Isn't that something? We're thankful for the first part of that passage. And the Lord's hand is not shortened. He is still strong. He is still able. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy. His ear is not deaf that he can't hear. God is able. God is in control. We sang about it this morning. God is in control. He's steadfast. He's immovable. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. And we are thankful for that. But then verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." It's sin that has caught us off from God. And because of sin, he has turned away and he have not listened to us. And what a dreadful place to be. What a tragic thing to happen to a people and to a nation when, because of sin, God refuses to hear their prayers. And Isaiah was saying to a sinful nation in that day, and he was saying, "Oh yes, God is all powerful. He is well able. There is nothing that is too hard for him to do. It's not that he can't hear your prayers," he told them. He said, "but he won't hear your prayers because sin has formed a barrier. Sin has cut you off. It's formed a barrier between an unrighteous nation and the holy God of heaven." And here is what's scary. Isaiah goes on to talk about what the sin of that nation was in that day. And when we see how it parallels the sins of our day and the sins of our nation, it ought to put us on our faces, crying out to God in repentance for our nation, in repentance for our people. Now, first of all, Isaiah says here, he says that they have bloody hands. Bloody hands. And that describes, in my view, our nation today. We make no issue of the fact that we believe in pro-life. We believe that life begins at conception. our viewpoint is based on the Bible, and that's our worldview. It's a biblical worldview. Now, others don't have a biblical worldview, and I'm not trying to get into all of that today, but we have a biblical worldview. And so America is swimming in an ocean of blood. A modern Holocaust has stained our country, and the blood of millions of preborn babies cry out from the ground. In America, there is now some 2,500 abortions a day. Isaiah said, "Your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hid his face from you. Your hands are defiled with blood." Since 1973, there have been over 62 million plus abortions in the United States of America. And that sin, that iniquity, that blood on our hands as a nation has, I believe, caused our nation to be separated from God. And not only abortion, but murders and violence and rioting and attacks on people. And yes, there are instances of racial hate. And all of that has covered our nation's hands with blood. Bloody hands. Bloody hands. Isaiah 59 and 3 says, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity." It goes on to say, "Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness." And so beyond bloody hands, we have lying lips. Lying lips and perverse mouths. Our lips have spoken lies, and our tongue has said perverse thing. That the tongues of the people of this nation say things that are corrupt and say things that are wicked. Honesty is not really all that common today anymore. Oh, it's just a little white lie. They say, well, it's okay to lie if it's for the right reasons. And everybody does it. Everybody lies. What's the big deal? Leaders lie. Government officials lie. Scientists lie. And the news media lies if it fits their narrative. People lie about their resume if it gets them a job. People lie on their tax return. What's the big deal? Everybody's doing it. But God's word is still true. Revelation 21 and 8 talks about those who will find themselves in hell. The fearful, the unbelieving, the corrupt, the murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft and worship idols, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. It was Jesus who said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." It doesn't matter if we're under oath or not. Our lips should speak the truth. Our lips should speak the truth. Just because everybody else is lying doesn't make it okay. We should speak the truth. The same Isaiah whose book we're looking at here today said in chapter 5, verse 20, he said, "Woe unto you," or "a woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We're seeing a great movement in our world today, which is to call that which is evil good and to call that which is good evil. Our world has it twisted. Our world has it backwards. They've perverted what is true. They've taken what God calls evil and now they're calling it good. And they're saying what God calls good, well, that's evil. That's why we're seeing such a move against biblical truth. It's all over. The world calls those things that God says is evil. They say, hey, it's good. It's all right. There's no problem with it. Their tongue is saying things that is corrupt and wicked. And Isaiah was declaring the things that were in his day, but it fits our nation today. Bloody hands and lying lips and then wicked hearts. Isaiah 59 and 4 says, "None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Verse 7 says, "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths." They're not looking for what's fair and what's honest. They don't care about justice. They're not pleading for truth to prevail. They conceive mischief and evil, and they give birth to evil. It's wicked hearts. And we say, oh, they're not all that bad. But let's be real. Our world is full of wicked hearts. Our nation is full of people who have no heart for God. They take no thought for what is right and for what is good. They don't think about what's godly. Their hearts are wicked. They conceive mischief. They devise ways to be more evil, even more evil and vile than any generation has before. They come up with a whole new level of depravity because they have wicked hearts. Bloody hands, lying lips, and wicked hearts. Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I believe that's describing our day today. America has a crisis. Yes, we are seeing the symptoms of it every day. Chaos and turmoil and confusion and anger and hate and violence and division. But those things are just the side effects. They're just the evidence of the underlying problem. And everything we see going on today, it's just an indication of what the real problem is. America's crisis is sin. America's crisis is sin. And because of that sin and because of that iniquity, it's not that God can't hear. It's not that God is not able to work, but he has separated himself from us because a holy God is not going to have part with sin. A righteous God will not have anything to do with unrighteousness. And so how did this happen? Have you ever asked yourself, how did we get to this point as a nation? How did we get here? How did we arrive to this place where a large percentage of our nation has a viewpoint that is so opposed to the way that the Bible describes that we should live? How do we get to the place that now pastors are restricted from preaching against sin? How do we find ourselves here? How did this happen? Isaiah 59:5 says, they hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. It says they hatch viper's eggs, deadly snake eggs. They weave a spider's web. I don't like snakes or spiders. And it's not so much the spider, it's the spider web. Ugh. And he that eats the eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. I'm going to tell you, hell has been busy. Hell does not take a day off. How did we get here? Hell doesn't relax or take a break. Hell has been incubating some things, and there are some snake eggs that are hatched by hell's incubator that are destroying things in our nation. Lying and poisonous philosophies that are being swallowed by people who don't even realize what they're eating. Snake eggs, that's what the world is eating, and it's causing destruction. And snake eggs, materialism and humanism and liberalism and anti-God and anti-freedom, these things are being hatched out into our world. And Satan doesn't make them look like snake eggs. He makes it look attractive. He makes it seem to make sense. He takes it and he paints it real pretty, and because he's a liar and the father of lies. But the poison that he is hatching undercover into our world is now taking hold, and it's corrupting our educational system and our religious beliefs and our economic and political views. And the dangerous thing is they find ways to slip the snake eggs into our diet. Sometimes we don't even realize what we're taking. It's an attack on the things of God and those who believe that the word of God is true, and those that stand for truth and righteousness. We're not accepted, and we're ridiculed, and those who believe in creationism, they're saying, oh, how could you believe something so old-fashioned? And those who don't accept the things of this world and evolution and these other things, those who want to live according to the Ten Commandments, that they're snubbed, and how could you be so old-fashioned? Celebrities and movie stars who dare to buck the politically correct way of thinking, they're excluded, they're punished. Isaiah said, they hatch deadly snake eggs, they weave a spider's web, and he that eats the eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. Here's what is so difficult about standing for truth and about standing against hell today, because when someone stands up and when they come against these things, when they try to stamp out sin and when they try to stamp out corruption and try to crush the things hatched by hell, all of it does is it just creates more snakes. It just seems to bring more chaos. It evolves into more corruption and trouble. It's a losing battle. Why would anyone want to fight it? And not only is there a diet of things hatched by hell, a diet of a deception, but there's also this weaving of the spider's web. Spiders will weave their web, and it's almost invisible. It's sticky. It's meant to catch unsuspecting insects that get entangled in the web. And then the spider comes out and traps it with more of the web and wraps it up and injects its poison into it, and then it sucks the insect dry. There's a web of wickedness that is spun by Satan, and he has spread out his web, and now he is poisoning and sucking dry a whole generation of people, a web of wickedness, a network of evil, and people can hardly see it. They're just walking along, and they don't even realize they're caught up in it until they run right into the spider's web. The level of evil today, it matches that of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not just that people, well, they're just a good sinner. No, now they're into stuff that's so deep and it's so twisted and so perverted and so dark and degenerate. And people didn't even know they were getting caught up in it, but now they find themselves in the web. How did we get here? What brought all of this on? It's a diet of deception. It's a web of wickedness. And thirdly, it's the trashing of truth. The trashing of truth. Look at Isaiah 59 and 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and injustice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Justice is turned backward. Justice is far off. Truth is fallen in the street, and equity can't enter. You see, there's a traffic jam. There's a traffic jam. Justice and judgment and equity and truth, they're trying to get through, but they can't, because truth has fallen in the street and everything is blocked now. And justice can't get through, and equity can't get through. What caused truth to fall? Because truth isn't dead, but truth has fallen. Psalms 105 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Truth isn't dead. You can't kill truth. You can't destroy truth. It's truth. It's just fallen. I want to tell you, there is power in truth. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the problem our world has today is that truth, how can they know the truth when truth has fallen in the street? Why has truth fallen? Why has truth stumbled? Why is truth lying on the ground? I tell you why. America thought she knew better than truth. And in 1962, she outlawed prayer in public schools. In 1963, she said there was no room for the Bible in our educational system. In 1980, posting the Ten Commandments was declared unconstitutional. In 1982, they decided, well, you can't teach creationism. Philosophy classes teach that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Doing away with our submission to a higher power. Political leaders think they can do better on their own without God, and so they turn away from one nation under God. And can we be honest? Too many churches and too many preachers got tired of standing up for truth. They got tired of standing against sin. They grew tired of proclaiming righteousness, and they let truth fall to the ground. America has enough celebrity preachers packing large buildings with big crowds of people and telling them all the things that tickle their ears that they want to hear. America needs more preachers who will stand for truth. America needs more preachers who will stand for truth. Whether it's popular or not, whether it's politically correct or not, truth has fallen. And somebody's got to pick it up. And somebody's got to declare it. And somebody's got to say, the truth still stands. Hallelujah. America has a crisis, and the only thing that is going to help us, the only thing that's going to bring us through, the only thing that's going to heal, the only thing that's going to deliver us from this crisis is the truth. We've got to have the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. I believe today we are called to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. To those here today that you feel a call, you feel a call from God on your life, let me tell you from your pastor today, don't even let the idea of possibly becoming a preacher get into your heart if you don't love truth. If you don't believe this, if you don't live this, if you don't love this truth, then America and the world, it deserves something more than weak preachers not able to stand in the face of the enemy and declare truth. Come on, if you feel that God could be calling you to a life of ministry and you don't ever read your Bible, then I tell you, that should be your first calling. That should be the first step, because in America, truth has fallen in the street. Somebody needs to stand for truth. Somebody needs to put truth back on her feet. Somebody needs to reach down in the dust of the street, and you need to pick up truth. You need to love the truth that's been dropped there, the truth that's been discarded and trashed, the truth that's been lying in the street. We got to pick it back up. If only there would be another generation that would come on the scene that would stand for truth. This crisis in America, this trouble and turmoil we're in, there is no other solution than the truth of God's word. Why did God write the Bible? To give us truth. Truth that will last. Truth that we can depend on. Truth that is a foundation to our lives. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. If we're going to walk in truth, then we have to know the word of truth. We have to read and study our Bible. We need to hear preaching from the word of God. I tell you, God didn't call this pastor just to be a motivational speaker. God didn't call me just to say things so that we could all feel good about ourselves and just better our standing in life. No, God called this pastor to preach the truth. And I've got to preach the word of God. That's why I like all my sermons. I like there to be scripture in them, because it's not just about what I think or what I feel. We need to preach the word of truth, what God says, what God feels. Thank God for the internet. I want to tell you what, we have a responsibility placed on us, because generations before, they had to go get encyclopedias. You had to get about 3 or 4 of them, and you had to look at this one and then follow that one, and then finally you could find the information maybe that you wanted. Now, you just ask Siri or you just Google it, and it's there. That should place a pretty big responsibility on us. We shouldn't just be lazy. We should go the extra mile. But there are some things we just can't get on the internet. There are some things we can't find out just by asking somebody passing by on the sidewalk. Get all the degrees you can. We're for that. Get all the degrees you can. But there are some things that professors of philosophy just can't teach us. There is nothing like the word of truth of God's word. And truth has fallen, but somebody's got to pick it back up. Is there anybody here today that you'd be willing to develop a fresh love for the Word of God, the Word of truth? Maybe you haven't been reading your Bible much lately, but you'll pick it back up and you'll brush off the dust and you'll open those pages and you'll fall in love with the Word of God again. Oh, come on, would you make that commitment? More than the news. More than what social media has to say. Before work and life and everything else, I've got to pick up truth. It's been lying in the street too long, and I've got to get it up. I've got to stand it up, because that's our only hope, is the truth of God's Word. Snake eggs and spider webs, a diet of deception, a web of wickedness, the trashing of truth. That's how we got here. I don't know about you, but it makes me want to put on my boots and start stomping out snake eggs. It makes me want to get a broom and start sweeping down spider webs. But here's the thing. We read it. It says you stamp out the snake egg, and now there's just more snakes. Hey, you go and clean out the spider web. You come back the next day or two, there's another one there. We need something that will slay the snake and destroy the spider. The only thing that will do that is truth. The truth. The only truth. Only truth can keep the serpent from spawning more eggs. Only truth can keep that spider from weaving its sticky web. Only truth will solve America's crisis. We need a life that says, I'm going to build on truth. We need to rededicate ourselves to truth. We need to love this truth. We need to teach it in our homes. We need to know about it for ourselves. We need to believe it for ourselves. And we've got to tell everybody we know about it. Listen to the prayer of Jesus before he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen to the prayer that he prayed in the flesh, praying unto the Spirit. In John 17:11, he says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, we are not of the world. Yes, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And it's not the will of God to take us yet out of the world. But it's the will of God that we should stay in the world, but that we should be kept from evil, because we have a job to do. We must be sanctified through truth, through the Word of God. I tell you today, we are the last hope for the world. We are the last hope for America through the truth that has sanctified us. Proverbs 23:23 declares, buy the truth and sell it not. There is something that is more valuable than any real estate. It's worth more than gold and silver. It's more precious than the stock of Apple or Amazon. There's another investment we need to make, and we need to put everything into this, and we need to hold on to it for the long haul. It's the truth. It's the truth of God's Word. Hey, there's a price to pay for it, but it's worth it. There's a cost, but we must pay it. We must preserve the truth. Don't let anyone take it from you, but buy the truth and sell it not. Hallelujah. Come on, one by one, and person by person, and family by family, and city by city, and church by church. We've got to take America back, but we can only do it through truth. Church has got to repent. The church has got to pray for our nation. Because here's the thing. America has been separated from God because of sin. and they can't do it themselves. They don't even know that they need to do it. They don't even realize where we're at as a nation. And frankly, they wouldn't even pray if they knew that they should. That's the state of our world. So it's left up to the church. Because even if, according to what we read today, because the sin has separated people from God, God has chosen not to hear their prayer. Isn't that something? So what are we to do? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people in this world that they're not going to pray. They're not going to humble themselves. And even if they did, because of sin, God's not even going to hear the prayer, it says. But if the church, if God's people, the people who are called by His name, if we will humble ourselves and if we will pray and seek His face, if we will turn from our wicked ways, then it says that He will hear from heaven and He will forgive their sin and He will heal their land. That's what we need today. If my people, it has to be the church. The church has to stand in the gap. The church has to say, you know what? This has fallen upon us, and we're the only ones that can help America in this crisis, and we've got to pray. Another verse we read today, Isaiah 59:16, it says, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. What is an intercessor? It's someone who stands in the gap and says, you know what? America has gone so far that they're beyond hope in themselves. They don't have the answer. I don't care if you're blue or red or green or yellow or whatever it is. Nobody has the answers for what we're going through today. And America is so far. They're separated from the things of God. They're separated from God's word. They're separated from truth. They're separated from godly principles. There's no way to expand that gap, but oh yes, there is. If somebody would be willing to be an intercessor and could stand in the gap and say, you know what? The world is so far from God. It is moved so far away from godly principles, but I've got to stand in the gap and I've got to pray and I've got to intercede and I've got to say, Lord, do something to bring us back together. Do something to bring us back to godly principles. Do something to heal our nation. Don't let it be said of America that when our great country was involved in its greatest crisis, that there was no person to intercede, that there was no one to stand in the gap, that there was no man, no woman, no young person, no child who would pray, who would humble themselves and seek the face of God for their country. Would you stand with me in closing today? Oh, I don't think it's any... It's not a surprise to any of us. I think we would all agree our nation needs help. Our country needs help. Our leaders, they don't have the answers. How can our politics be so divided to where each side, it's like they're speaking a totally different language and there's no common ground to even try to come together on? I want to tell you, it's a side effect of the true crisis. And the true crisis in America is the overabundance, the acceptance of sin, the discarding of truth, and a refusal to humble ourselves and pray. You know, there's been some who you've asked yourself or you've asked others this week, what can I do to help my country? What can I do to... answer the call of God in my life? What can I do to be involved in ministry? I'm going to tell you what you can do. Pick up truth. Don't leave it lying in the street. And if you can stand in the gap to be an intercessor, It's the greatest thing you could do for your country. It's the greatest thing you could do for this nation. That's the greatest thing you could do for the calling of God in your life. America is in a crisis. It's the greatest, I believe, we've ever faced. And in this time of need, in this great hour of crisis, somebody needs to pick up truth. Don't let it go. America's destiny could be hanging on your stand for truth. Someone needs to receive the calling of an intercessor. Because America has reached a place of iniquity that her sin has separated her from God. But the church, the people who are called by His name, we can pray. And God will hear from heaven and will forgive our sin as a nation, and He will heal our land. I don't know that you'll hear this speech from any politician this week. I want to ask that they would kill the bright overhead lights. I want to see if we can turn this place into a prayer room right now. Maybe you don't really know how to pray. Maybe it's simple. It's just having a conversation with God. I'm telling you, it could be as simple as saying, "Lord, I need you. Our nation needs you. Lord, we repent of every sin. Lord, we turn from every evil way, every wicked way. Lord, forgive us of sin today. And I pray, Lord, that you would hear from heaven, that you would forgive us, Lord, that you would keep us, Lord, that you would heal our land.